Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
A threat to our economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Some of the nation's leading business economists were asked, what's the biggest short-term threat to the economy? Their answer, terrorism. That comes from a survey by the National Association for Business Economics. In order, the next three concerns were excessive household and corporate debt, the trade deficit, and energy prices. Economists say the biggest long-term challenges include health care and the growth of the elderly population. The nation's Chamber of Commerce has turned its attention to business competitiveness. In a new report out this morning, it explores how to make American markets more competitive on the global stage. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli looks at one of them.
Publicly traded companies are required to issue earnings reports each quarter, and two-thirds of them do something they aren't obligated to do. They put out earnings projections, too, meaning how much they expect to make per share in the next quarter.
The inevitable result is, if the company does not meet that projection, its stock takes a tremendous hit.
That's Bob Posen of the Chamber's Capital Markets Commission. The group is telling public companies, stop the madness. Posen says American companies put too much time and energy into figuring out how to make their target earnings and not enough time into research and development and other projects.
One of the keys to global competitiveness is to take a longer-term approach to economic growth.
Posen says a few companies have already said no to earnings projections, Coca-Cola, Exxon, and Motorola among them. No companies in Europe or Asia issue such forecasts. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Asian markets were mostly up at the close of business today. In Japan, the Nikkei rose 128 points. Let's review where Wall Street closed on Friday. The Dow added 15 points to 12,276, but the Nasdaq was flat at 2387, and the S&P also closed flat. It will open today at 1402. The price of oil has fallen below $60. A couple of reasons: forecast of warmer weather for the U.S. and steady output of production from OPEC. U.S. crude fell 25 cents. It's at $59.80 a barrel. A $19 billion bid for Britain's largest chain of pharmacies, Boots, has been overshadowed by rumors of insider trading. The bid, launched on Friday by U.S. private equity firm Kolber Kravis Roberts, was preceded by suspicious share price movements. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
When it was announced on Friday afternoon that KKR was making a bid for Boots, the company's share price leapt by 10%, but it had already jumped by 4% in the hours leading up to the announcement. This came just 2 days after Britain's main financial regulator, the FSA, made a damning announcement about insider trading. The FSA said that in 2005, one quarter of all takeover and merger deals in London were preceded by suspicious share trading activity. Lawyer Adam Epstein says the regulator will have to act.
I think the important thing for the FSA is that the FSA really sends a proper message to the market that it's tackling any kind of market abuse. It's been top of its list of priorities for a few years, and the events of the last week, I think, are going to make sure that they redouble their efforts to keep it there.
But insider trading is notoriously difficult to prosecute. There's been only one conviction in Britain over the past 5 years. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
I guess Texas isn't big enough for Halliburton. The Houston-based corporation announced yesterday it's moving its corporate headquarters to Dubai. The oil giant is intensifying its focus on the Middle East and Asia. The company's CEO has been quoted as saying the Eastern Hemisphere is more heavily weighted towards oil exploration and production opportunities. And, you know, the fact that Dubai has some of the world's most liberal tax and investment laws probably doesn't hurt either.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
If you're a regular listener of Marketplace, you know that we play this when the markets are down. Well, today, stormy weather will hit the markets, but not in the way we usually mean. This morning, hurricane futures start trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. For more, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Let's say you're an energy company in the Gulf Coast, and a hurricane's headed your way. You've insured your oil pipelines, but it might not cover all your losses. In the past, you had to live with that risk. Now you can buy hurricane futures and get a nice payout if a big storm hits. If the hurricane's a dud, you lose your initial investment. That's just the gamble you take. Robert Hartwigs with the Insurance Information Institute.
The objective here is to hedge risk. In other words, try to put a limit on the uncertainty associated with events that we don't know exactly how they'll turn out in the future.
Utility companies, state governments, even insurance companies themselves may use futures to reduce their exposure. Futures have one big advantage over traditional insurance. While claims can take months, futures contracts close in 3 days. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange decided to create a hurricane futures market after the heavy 2005 season. But the Merc ran into a problem. The familiar Saffir-Simpson scale, which puts hurricanes in categories 1 through 5, wasn't precise enough.
Calling something a strong category 4, for example, is very subjective.
That's meteorologist Steve Smith with Carvel, a company that tracks hurricane activity. He teamed up with the Merc to develop a brand new index that takes both wind speed and storm size into account.
A simple formula that people understand and is repeatable and transparent. And that's really what we're trying to do with this index.
Each point on the index is worth $1,000. Hurricane Katrina was a 19. If you bought a Katrina future, you'd be paid $19,000 when it hit. The Merc's Rick Redding says a futures market could eventually benefit homeowners.
What we're trying to do is bring more capital into the marketplace. That market will become more efficient, and typically that would lead over time to lower insurance premiums.
Truth is, no one's sure if a hurricane futures market will be successful. Robert Hartwig.
It's sort of a wonderful economic experiment that we're about to see unveiled in the 2007 hurricane season.
I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.